Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, not going to let a little COVID. Quiet. Don't tell anybody I told you. Not going to let a little COVID keep me down. So when you get... There were a couple... I didn't want to go through the official testing, but there's a couple reasons that we had to. And so you got an email back this morning, and you log in. I'm like, oh yeah. But here's the deal, everybody. I know this might be a shock to you, but I'm already on the radar screen. I've been on the radar screen, the federal government, for a while now because I've done enough in politics and activism and international travel and meeting with a couple of interesting foreign dignitaries. One in particular. It's in northern Iraq. And so, you know, I've been on that radar screen for a while. I'm not trying to hide. But anyway, you log in and then, big block letters, detect it. So I'm on this huge regimen of vitamin C and D3 and zinc and elderberry syrup and sleeping a lot and kind of achy and tired and feel like I have a cold, had a little bit of a fever, not horrible. I'm up and about. But with everything going on today in Georgia and tomorrow in Washington, D.C., God has just, given me a platform that I need to be responsible to and my personal health. If I can manage it, and I can, thank God, is not going to keep me from getting in here, especially today and tomorrow. So that's why I'm sitting here. Just pray for me and my family, if you'd be so kind, and just lift us up as we should be praying for each other. And for the vast majority of us, if you get COVID, it's like getting the flu or something, or a mild version of the flu for, 5 days, 7 days, 10 days. For most people, 80% of people don't even have to go see a doctor. And we know the mortality rates continue to fall. So it's not like it's a death sentence. So don't act like it is. It's very serious, especially the older you are, the more comorbidities you have, the more health struggles you have, then it can be very serious and deadly. And there are outlier situations here and there where young people, for no obvious reason, at least up front that we're being told, have actually died from COVID. So it's still a big, murky mess. But given everything going on today, absolutely epic future-altering election in Georgia. So we need to talk about that. We're going to pray about that, okay? And we'll do that together. And then, of course, tomorrow, what's going on in Washington, D.C., starting roughly at about 1 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm going to be glued to the screen watching that happen. And then I'll be in here covering that, and we'll see what happens, because they're most likely going to object to 6 different states. Mike Pence most likely is going to have to follow the law and the Constitution on that, where they've hit the pause button. They disperse to both chambers. And who knows what Nancy Pelosi is going to do in the House tomorrow? Because you've got over 100 House Republicans that are objecting in collusion, or you get to use that word now, in collusion with a list of 12, which could grow, Republican senators, U.S. senators. You have to have one on each side, the House and the Senate, in order to actually put an objection in writing. Then Pence is supposed to, constitutionally and by a law that was passed in the late 1800s regarding this, is supposed to hit the pause button, disperse to both chambers, go argue about it for 2 hours, then come back and they take a separate vote in the Senate. You know, will the Republicans actually use their existing majority and say no to any of these states based on what's presented tomorrow? That's a question. In the House, will Nancy Pelosi even allow them to present an argument? Or will she just sit there and twiddle her nose behind her plexiglass for 2 hours, which she could probably get away with? And then they take a vote, and they don't have the votes in the House, so they got to come back. And then Mike Pence will ask for the vote from both the House and the Senate, and they both would have to agree. So here's where it gets interesting. Depending on the information that is presented tomorrow, will it put enough pressure on members of the House, Democrat members of the House, that some of them might go, I don't know that I want to actually put my name on this, given what I've just heard over the last couple hours. So this is a massive pressure cooker tomorrow which we'll handle that when we get to it, although I have some stories to talk about it today. And then today in Georgia, over $500 million in ad buys alone, okay? Hillary spent about $580 million across her entire general election running for president in 2016 when Donald Trump won. And they spent as much, they spent almost as much of that in 2 months in Georgia. So I imagine people in Georgia are just so done with ads and text messages and everything else. But that's happening now. You had 3 million plus votes early. So this has all got the same concerns that we have now in Georgia with this election that we had with the presidential election. And Raffensperger and the DA there and what's going on in Atlanta. And it's just a colossal mess. I don't think there's any way, really, that we're going to know the outcome of this election tonight. Polls are open till 7. So if you know anybody in Georgia, right-minded people, if you know a lefty in Georgia, don't call them. Don't text them. Don't send them anything on social media. Just pray that maybe they sleep through the whole thing. But if you have a right-minded friend or family in Georgia, you should be contacting them and saying, hey, listen, you have to do your civic duty, not just for Georgia, but for the entire country and for our children and our grandchildren. Because if the Republicans win one of these two seats that are up for grabs today, then they'll hold the majority. It'll be 51-49, okay? Tight, but they have it. How much they'll use that to block a Biden if he gets in, we'll see. I don't trust that much either. But if the Democrats pulled off both of these seats and you get a 50-50 tie, then Kamala Harris, assuming they get in on the 20th, which I'm not assuming, but it, right now, short of God moving and something amazing and literally miraculous happening tomorrow in the Congress, then that's going to be the deal. And Kamala Harris would be the tie-breaking vote. And Biden and the left and the new Green Deal and the squad and all that psycho-progressivism would all just get a heyday for 2 years. There would be nothing you could do to stop them. And what would that cost us as a country? What would that cost us? Okay? That would cost us, maybe they would work to get the Northwest Ordinance going again. We haven't seen that in a while. And let's get D.C. and Puerto Rico to be states. That's all right. We can throw a couple more stars on the flag. No big deal. And, of course, you're going to get four more Democrat, uber liberal senators for those two places. And then let's go ahead and ramrod, I don't know, 5-7 more justices to the Supreme Court. And if they control the Senate, they can do that too. They can do all that stuff before the end of this year. That's how important this election is today. We got some praying to do and some talking to do, more articles when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Epic, historical, monumentally important day today in Georgia. That's going to, you're like, Georgia, who cares about Georgia? You better care about Georgia because they've got the runoff election for two U.S. Senate seats. This almost never happens. I can't remember this ever happening in my lifetime, but that's just 2020 and now 2021. Who can just pull those two together? And, you got two U.S. Senate seats hanging in the balance. Right now, the balance in the U.S. Senate is 50 to 48. 50 Republicans, 48 Democrats. So if the Republicans win one out of these two seats, they'll retain control. Now, that's good, okay? Because it's better to have even a bunch of rhinos in control of the Senate than it is to have a 50-50 tie, which would happen if both Democrats won this election today, which we won't know tonight. But if they both won, then you'd have a 50-50 tie, which then, assuming, let's just for the sake of the argument, Biden and Kamala Harris get sworn in on January 20th, then she has the tie-breaking vote. And pardon my French, all hell is going to break loose in this country and politically, okay? Every little dream and fascination and psycho thought on the left, they will push it all through the Congress and Joe Biden will sign off on it in the White House for 2 years. Then, God willing, there would be a tremendous conservative backlash in both the House and the Senate. But that's what we're talking about today in Georgia. And they had about 3 million plus early votes, which go heavily Democrat. Mark Stein is filling in for Rush Limbaugh today, and Rush Limbaugh is allegedly going to be back, which would be great. But Mark Stein did some calculations on his own and thinks that The turnout today needs to go 65% Republican for them to be able to win. Now, that's not terribly abnormal, by the way, in what's going on when you got early voting versus day of the election voting. Republicans tend to come out real strong. We don't really do early voting. Democrats do early voting. Why? I have no idea. But that's the deal. So that's what's going on there. By the way, if you're going up to D.C. for the whole slew, there's things going on there today. So if you happen to be on Facebook Live, or maybe you're listening on a Truth Radio app or something, if you're in D.C., if you're going to D.C., if you haven't left yet, if you're going there for the most of it's going to be tomorrow, there's potential here for enormous, enormous crowds, which means potential for unrest. Antifa will be there, some BLM people, Proud Boys who you can't control. And this is a mess. So we need a potential mess here. We need to pray. But it is, for most people, it's an exercise of their First Amendment right to free speech and to gather and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. This is just an exercise in constitutional Americanism. And that's good. But if you're going, I'd be curious if you're heading up there, or maybe you're heading up there right now. I'd love for you to call in and just share with us why you're going, what's driving you to do this. And for a lot of people, they've probably never gone there. I watched something Right Side Media earlier today was covering a rally. And they talked to this young man from Portland. I thought, oh, no, he's going to be a plant. But he's he's 20 years of age. He's from Portland, of all places. He flew all the way over, never been to D.C. before. And he's there to stand up for President Trump and to stand against what he believes is election fraud. I believe there's a whole lot of that as well. And I was like, man, he's 20. And he said, I just want people to know that not all people my age are Democrat. They're not all socialists. I'm here to stand up for my president. And that was great. So there's people there right now. But if you're heading there, if you're there already, if you're heading there tonight or tomorrow, perhaps I would love for you to call in and just share why you're doing it, why you feel moved to such an extent. Believe me, if I didn't have COVID, I'd thought about going up there. But I also have classes of high school homeschoolers that I'm teaching civics, hello, in the Constitution. So I think that's probably more important for me to spend that time with them this week than to take basically 2 days and go up to D.C. I can't do that now anyway. But anyway, I'd love for you to call in and share why you're doing that and what you hope to accomplish and basically what's motivating you. 866-348-7884 if you want to call in just for that. If you're heading to D.C., I want to know it. I want to know why. Just want you to share and tell the rest of us. And then we need to be in prayer for you and everybody else heading up there and the people that are already there. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH if you're heading up there to Washington, D.C. for everything going on today, yes, but especially for tomorrow. A couple of things on this was from the Epoch Times, which, by the way, is a great news site, website, app, Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H. I strongly recommend you become a member of that. It's not very expensive. This is from the Epoch Times. This was a commentary by Roger Simon, the ramifications of the Georgia Senate runoff. You know what? I'm going to get to that after the break. You know what we're going to do right now? Let's pray. Let's pray together right now over Georgia. And then I'm also going to play a prayer from Lance Wallnau, who was on the show a couple weeks ago that he did Sunday night on a Facebook group that you can join. I put the link in there and you can just be a part of it. Global Prayer for U.S. Election Integrity. And they're going to continue to go after tomorrow. They're going to keep going. Okay. So we'll play Lance's prayer here before the show is over, but I'm going to pray with you right now over what's going on in Georgia. But if you're planning to head up to D.C. or maybe if you're on your way up there right now or you're leaving tonight, whatever, please give us a call. I'd love to hear from you so you can share with us why you're going. 866-348-7884 is the number. A little easier to remember. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH, or 866-348-7884. Father God, we just come to you humbly, Lord, with our hat in our hands. And I heard somebody else earlier today, and I know Lance said this too the other night, Lord, let mercy triumph over judgment. Let mercy triumph over judgment, Lord. I know that we as a nation, that Washington, D.C., that politicians on the left as well as the right deserve judgment. Lord, we own that. We offer that up. Without reservation, Lord, I know that. I know for my own life, my own walk with you, before and after Jesus Christ saved me when I was born again, I know I deserve judgment. This nation deserves judgment on so many levels, yet like my personal resume, there's good along with the bad. There's wonderful things that have come out of the out of the soil of the United States of America, which was largely founded by people who gave their ascendancy to you. And so, Father, we just cry out for mercy rather than judgment. And we know mercy is at the center of the gospel. It is the cross itself is mercy. So we cry out, Lord, as we pray over these elections. And Lord, I'm not praying for two Republicans to win because I think the Republican Party is your party. That's a whole nother conversation, Lord. But I'm praying, we are praying, that these two Republicans would win because that appears to be the only way that there could be a block in the U.S. Senate and our nation against this progressive, largely atheistic, godless, immoral ideology that is rising quickly on the left and throughout our country, Lord, that seeks to shelve religious freedom, which seeks to shelve the gospel, which we know they can't do that, praise God. But Lord, we do pray just for mercy rather than judgment on our nation, Lord, that there could be at least a little bit of a break in the U.S. Senate against an agenda that will just end up disrupting the lives of hundreds of millions of Americans. And then, of course, because of our role in the world, Lord, it'll have a worldwide impact. And Lord, we can only see what we can see. We have to trust your will and your word and your plan, and we do. But we do pray boldly for fairness, for justice, for truth in this election today, Lord, for your people to come out and stand against the advancement of an ideology that's clearly against your word in so many different ways. And again, Lord, you know I'm not lifting up the Republican Party as some kind of party of God, but I am praying against the evil that we see on the left, and we pray that in Jesus' name.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Pray. Don't give up. Listen, I've been tempted. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. I've been tempted to give up, been frustrated. Forget it. Listen, I understand the Bible. I've got a pretty strong biblical worldview. I've got a master's degree in ethics, theology, and culture from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I'm not just a pew sitter, okay? I've been on the radio since 2007. I'm not your average bear. That being said, I'm like, okay, I know how this goes. Ultimately, I know the meta narrative, and most likely you do too. You're going to have this arc downward as mankind's sin continues to manifold and manifest itself and double down and triple down and quadruple down. And as we get further and further away from any notion of truth, the whole thing just collapses, sets up nicely, does it not, for the man of lawlessness? We haven't seen the stage set so clearly in 12 months than we have in the last 12 months. I mean, really? Have you? I haven't. I mean, no time in my life, I'll be 55 next month. No time have I seen a period like this. And I've been a believer since 94, so I've been trying to pay attention, really starting at about 2000. Okay, so about 20 years now, I've been pretty plugged in. Never seen anything like this. So there's spiritual darkness swirling everywhere. So the God's plans and what we know from Scripture, you can see all that stuff much more clearly now, at least I can, than I could 12 months ago, right? So all that stuff's going on, and you can go to D.C. today and tomorrow. You can do all that stuff, but you ain't changing his plan, right? You do know that, which is also why, because his plan is set, it's like rock, and that's your firm foundation, the truth of the gospel, the truth of your identity in Christ, not in your works or lack thereof. Your rock, the rock of your salvation is Jesus Christ. Your future, Jesus Christ, is your salvation and your rock, your foundation, your firm foundation, not a shifting shadow, right? So it ultimately, for me as a believer, and hopefully if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a born-again Christian, all this stuff matters because it involves people and the truth in our a job as ambassadors in this world to be salt and light, and bad policy affects people, like not the least of which would be 61 million dead children in this country since 1973. So all that matters, but it doesn't last. Okay? It's not eternal, but souls are. So that's the number one priority is souls. But all the other things affects people made in the image of God, and God cares about them. He died for them, right? John 3:16. So we engage. But I know the end scenario is set, and I ain't going to change it. My activism, my time on the radio, whatever. Facebook posts, how many people watch a video. That's not going to change God's plan, his ultimate plan. He ain't changing it. And so I rest in that, man. I ultimately don't have to worry about it. But I do worry about it because he leaves us here. He saves you, and he leaves you here to be a witness, to be an ambassador, to help build people up inside the church and to help introduce the lost to Jesus Christ, to be a good example for them and to be salt and light in this world, because God's way works for everybody every time it's tried. Okay? So we stay engaged, but there's been a part of me is like, forget it. Forget it. Let's just stay in the upper room and take care of each other and pray. Except that he didn't even allow that, right? As beautiful as that is, he didn't allow that. He threw him out. All right. So that being said, pray. Don't give up. Pray. Even on the other side of January 20th, whatever happens, you don't know what can happen. You think God's limited by January 20th? You think that's on his table somewhere? You think Gabriel's nudging him and saying, hey, Lord, well, if you don't do something by January 20th, I mean, really? Think God cares about the human calendar? He's not restricted by anything. God operates in the unbounded now, as C.S. Lewis said. This was really fascinating. This is from Epoch Times. The ramifications of the Georgia Senate runoff. This is by a guy that writes their commentary, Roger Simon. If the Republicans win the Georgia Senate runoff, it will be yet another sign. Stay with me. This is really interesting. As if we needed that one, that the November 3rd presidential election was corrupt, or to be more polite, quote unquote, had issues. That's a big if, of course. To the extent we take them seriously, not much. The polls are showing a toss-up. Nevertheless, if both David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler achieve victory, it will replicate symbolically something we saw frequently on November 3rd when down-ballot candidates outran a very popular president, resulting in surprisingly large Republican gains in the House of Representatives and state houses. What that means is down-ballot. When you get a ballot, remember what's at the top, president, vice president. We're talking about down-ballots. So a lot of people, like in this state, how do you vote for Donald Trump and not vote for Dan Forrest in North Carolina? That makes zero sense to me. Okay, that's what they're talking about. That's what he's referencing. Curious. No? In today's election, no opportunity will be an offer for people to vote for Joe Biden alone and leave everything else blank, as apparently happened in an astonishingly, probably unprecedented number of occasions during the presidential election, awakening suspicions of ballot stuffing. On the other hand, it is feared that Republican disgust with the presidential election will deter turnout. So, the world will be watching today's runoff for a number of reasons, the most obvious and talked about being the control of the U.S. Senate. Will the citizens of Georgia re-elect the incumbents, or will they opt for a near clone of Jeremiah Wright under accusation of spousal abuse? That would be Mr. Warnock, as I call him, calls himself a pastor. Ha! Warnock. Wrong. Warnock. And Jejune Fellow, who seems like a particularly tedious adjunct sociology professor at a community college. This guy's funny. If that seems extreme, although it's not, I would remind you that this is an opinion column. Meanwhile, I'm pretty confident that many GOP senators, listen, this is for tomorrow, those who followed the lead of Josh Hawley from Missouri and refusing immediately to certify the electors, and those who did not, will be watching closely for other admittedly political reasons. Which side should they be on? That's so cowardly, by the way. Victories for Loeffler and Perdue will encourage those who didn't follow Hawley to suddenly join the other dozen or so Republican senators who had the spine to declare themselves before the runoff. He's talking about the people tomorrow that are going to object. No matter how this plays out, however, we are in a hall of catch-22s. The Cruz Hawley group, if we can call them that, have asked for 10 days to study whether there has been fraud in the presidential election. While that's an understandable number since the inaugural is slated as of now for January 20th, it's nowhere near enough time to make a determination. We're indeed in one of the strangest moments in our history. While China, as stated in an interview with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, is already inside our gates, we are at each other's throats, or, incredibly, almost beyond comprehension, seriously debating in our Congress whether we are allowed to call our mother and father, mother and father. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. So it would seem all hopes reside with the voters of Georgia. Now, I don't know anything about this gentleman, Roger Simon. Most likely he's Jewish. So he's not thinking like a New Testament follower of Jesus Christ. All hope doesn't ultimately end with the voters of Georgia, sir. All hope begins and ends with Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Ghost, right? So you got Georgia senators. This is great. Call on Pence to delay the January 6th electoral vote. That's where you should have been this whole time, contacting state legislators in the key hot button states, because what they're doing affects the rest of the country. That's why most of the time I'd say don't bother, because if you don't live in Pennsylvania, they're not going to listen to you anyway. But what Pennsylvania does, what Wisconsin does, what Michigan does, what Nevada does, what Pennsylvania does, what Georgia does affects the whole country in this case. So that brings us all to the table, I think. So they've been a bunch of senators, state senators, calling on Pence to delay the electoral vote, which is going to happen tomorrow. And Trump's lawyer, Jenna Ellis, said that she actually thinks he has a right to do that. Pence can ask that question on the states and say, well, legislators, you know, I have an oath to the U.S. Constitution to uphold the Constitution as written in Article 2, Section 1.2, which says the state legislatures direct the manner in which electoral delegates are selected. So you tell me which of these two slates was selected in the manner that your General Assembly has designated. She's talking about the fact that in these six battleground states, the Republican electors went ahead and signed a slate, and they sent that to Congress, along with the Democrat slate. So for these six states, they actually have two slates of Electoral College votes, one for Democrat Biden, one for Republican Trump. And that's a fair question, she added. That's not exercising discretion. That's not setting up any sort of bad precedent. That's actually returning the authority to the constitutionally protected entity, and just simply directing that question, I think, would then require a response from these very committed, to put it lightly, state legislators that haven't been willing to act, and it would, in fact, then give a very clean outcome to this election. Article 2, Section 1.2 of the U.S. Constitution says the Constitution provides that each state is to decide for itself how its electors will be chosen. So you'd have to pull a couple things together here to make her case constitutionally, which is where I'm always coming down. Can you make the case constitutionally? But does the bigger thing is pray for Mike Pence, because he would need to be full of the Spirit of God tomorrow, more so probably than he's ever been. He would need to be strong. He would need to be courageous, and he would need to be willing to take the heat, because he will go down in history if he manages tomorrow strongly. And I'm not saying necessarily in a good way, because they're half this country is going to go ballistic. The other half country is going to be cheering. And you've got potential for more civil disobedience and civil problems around the country. And in D.C. tomorrow, where you've got hundreds of thousands of people, potentially, organizers are saying maybe over a million, that are going to be there protesting all of this and trying to stand up for President Trump. This is all very sobering, scary stuff, which is why we need to pray. We'll do some more of that together in the last segment, and also Lance Wallnau's prayer, which is really powerful. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Pray, 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 pray. From my buddy Fred Zelenko, who's out in St. Louis, doing a great job with the Christian Network out there. We've been friends for years. He just texted me this. For anyone attending tomorrow's rally in Washington, D.C., be careful, stay together, and know that the Proud Boys are not going to announce their presence. They plan to wear black and blend in with Antifa protesters. So you've got, thanks, Fred. You've got, if you're going up there, be very careful. Assume nothing. Well, I would assume that there's trouble. Assume that there's trouble, so be on your guard. Be alert. Be prayerful. And be prayerful today. Father God, again, we just come before you, Lord, and we just ask for your mercy over judgment in Georgia today, Lord. We pray. I know, Father, that there's literally, I don't know, 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 poll workers there and trying to make sure it's legal, it's fair, it's just, Lord. So we pray for that. And Lord, there's great doubt in our country right now whether we can trust any of these elections. So we just pray for your mercy over judgment, although we know we deserve the latter. But we plead for the former, Lord, based on the cross, based on who you are, based on the fact that Jesus coming was an act of mercy in and of itself, that you love the world enough that you gave your only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We call out for that mercy and that grace in Georgia today and in Washington tomorrow. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. So pray for Vice President Pence. Do that tomorrow. It'll already be at play, okay? 1 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow is when this is probably going to get started in the joint session of Congress when they're going to be looking at the electoral votes from each state. You've got over 100 Republicans in the House, and right now 12, hopefully more, Republican senators. And they both have to agree, and then they have a written objection. They present that to Mike Pence when he calls Arizona, for example. Then they can object. Then, based on the Constitution and an election law that was passed in the late 1800s, which was to clarify what was going on with the vice president's power in this situation, then he's supposed to adjourn joint session. They go to their separate houses. They have 2 hours, up to 2 hours, to argue through why is there an objection. And then they vote on the objection. And in the Senate, if you have some Republicans that actually have a backbone and they hear compelling evidence, then they should vote to reject the electors, that slate of electors from that state. And then in the House, they don't have the votes, but we need to pray for a miracle tomorrow. And that things would be so clear that you'd have Democrats going, okay, yeah, I think we need to hit the pause button here. Not for the sake of Biden or Trump, but for the sake of the integrity of the election process and the future of this country. Can these men and women get beyond partisan politics? Not without God's intervention, they can't. So we pray for that too, Lord. You know, we pray for Mike Pence. Is Mike Pence willing to go through what Senator Josh Hawley just went through last night? The Republican from Missouri is the first one to step up. Said that a group of Antifa members threatened his family in their Washington home on Monday night. And he said that he won't be intimidated. Tonight, while I was in Missouri, he tweeted, Antifa scumbags came to our place in D.C. and threatened my wife and newborn daughter who can't travel. They screamed threats, vandalized, and tried to pound open our door. Let me be clear, my family and I will not be intimidated by left-wing violence, he wrote on Twitter. Of course, the others came out, Showdown NC is what it was called, came out and said, no, no, no. The Washington Post said, no, no, no. Is it like a peaceful vigil? Well, I watched it. I watched the video earlier today. And if you have 20 people with signs out in front of your house, and yeah, they had candles, but they had two megaphones, and they're shouting things like, when our democracy is under attack, what do we do? And the rest of them, stand up, fight back. And they're on your sidewalk. And then at one point, they go to the front door. I can't tell if they knocked or not. They probably rang the doorbell, left a copy of the U.S. Constitution. Looked like they were trying to stick it in the door handle. I'm like, yeah, now you're on private property. Sidewalk, okay, private property? And all that's home is his wife and his newborn baby? Of course he's going to use that kind of language. Were they pounding on the door? Not that I know of. Did they scream threats? Did they vandalize? Well, they were writing on the sidewalk with chalk. So is that vandalizing? You could probably make a case for that. But they didn't sound friendly. Plus, you got to put it in the context of what has happened with Antifa people. And the last word you're going to use in describing what Antifa has done this year is peaceful. These are threatening, whacked out people, probably heavily under the influence of the devil himself. So pray that members of Congress, and especially Mike Pence, has the kind of steely resolve that Josh Hawley has that got put to the test last night when he was out and his wife and his baby are at home and these people show up at his outside his house. And they did not sound friendly or peaceful to me. I watched the video, 50 minutes of it, okay? Truth matters, believe it or not. Okay, so I want to do this real quick. Lance Wallnau was on the show recently. And on Sunday night, they had a global prayer for U.S. election integrity. I put the link up on the Facebook live feed. I'll put it up again right now. And you can just look that up on Facebook, global prayer for U.S. election integrity. They've got another one coming on. I don't know if Sarah, one of my board members, is on Facebook live right now. But if you can put another link, this one's to their page on Facebook. Lots of great information. Great time of prayer. Lance Wallnau was on this one Sunday night and just had a really powerful prayer that I wanted to play for you guys. And I'm going to play it. Now I'm in here in the studio by myself, so this is kind of GarageBand version. So I'm literally going to hold my iPhone up to my nice microphone. But let's just listen along and pray along with Lance Wallnau. He's talking specifically about the whole nation right now. Really, really powerful prayer.
Annabelle, my prayer partner. I'm
talking about his wife.
If you guys want to really have prevailing prayer, you can pray, but there's a special grace, I think, when you pray with your spouse. Pray for America. Pray for this moment. Pray with your covenant spouse.
Great idea. Pray with your wife
Father,
or your husband.
We thank you that you have extended extraordinary mercy to us. We believe in what you sent in the gift of a leader who was totally on the side of what is right and embraced your people and Israel. And so we pray, Lord, for an extension of mercy. Let mercy triumph over judgment. We pray, Lord, that you will indeed rise up and that you will make your name and your presence manifest, that at this critical time, our eyes are on you. We have no hope in man, but our eyes are on you. We pray that you will move the government, Lord, on your shoulders. You determine the rising of nations and the set time of their decline. You determine who rules, for you have set your rulers upon your hill in Psalm 2. And we declare, Lord, the decree. You are the one who appoints, and that you are the one who settles who is going to lead, who is going to rule, and who has authorization to shape the affairs of nations. So, Father, we are pleading in the name of Jesus for the extension of mercy, for great strength to come upon those that are going to be your mouthpieces in this week. We pray the airwaves will not be able to silence your utterance. We pray that truth is going to break forth and sweep away a refuge of lies. We pray for divine protection upon the gatherings. The gathering storm, Lord, shall not be able to break upon the gathering of those people that are coming together peacefully to pursue and seek your face on this week in Washington, that a divine intervention is indeed taking place in America's affairs in such a way that we will see the hand of God, and we will see and know the demonstration of your mercy and of your goodness, your unveiled power in the affairs of men. And Lord, we are praying that this president will have a grace upon him. May you expose, Lord, and may you literally expose every crooked way, every crooked mountain, every crooked path, as Isaiah 45 says, and let there be a straightening of those ways, an extension of mercy, and a mobilization and quickening of your people for great awakening, a voice, Lord God, that is relevant to the nation, and a voice, Lord God, that has authority to bring down lies that are literally infesting this next generation, and bring about that love of the nation that should be in the breast of everyone who appreciates the gift of freedom that you've given us. And we pray for that and for our brothers and sisters that are on this broadcast in Jesus' name.
Amen. Powerful prayer. Lance Wallnau, he was on the show a couple weeks ago, and such a powerful prayer. I want to finish with this. It's kind of a charge to all of us. This is from Epoch Times again, the editorial board. They put this out yesterday. A time for choosing, a test of our souls. I'm going to read fast. The political crisis the United States faces brings into the open a contest for the soul of our country. As important as this recent election is, the stakes transcend particular political arrangements. They go to fundamental issues about which each of us must make a choice and take a stand. A peculiarity of our current situation, while every American is intricately familiar with the pandemic and the effect it has on our lives, this is not the case for voter fraud, despite the evidence being overwhelming. Some Americans are ignorant of these facts because they've been misinformed by a media that willfully withholds information. The reason for this might surprise you. There's been a force quietly at work in our country in plain sight that has gradually taken over ideological control of most of our institutions, businesses, media, and even our culture. The force is Marxism and communism. For those who have been following the story, there's no surprise here. For those who've never heard of this, it sounds far-fetched and even unbelievable. It's not that we weren't alerted. It was the stated goal of the Soviet Union to infiltrate our political parties, media, and academia in an effort to subvert America from within. This process is now almost completed. This decades-long communist subversion of our nation came to a head in the 2020 election. While before our major political parties didn't differ that much on fundamental level, gradually one of the parties was subverted by communist groups. During past elections, both parties would wave the American flag and sing the national anthem, but now one side genuinely believes America is a fundamentally flawed nation. Over the summer, Marxist groups such as Black Lives Matter, which was founded by self-proclaimed Marxists, who have hijacked genuine concerns over racism for political purposes, and the far-left Antifa group were behind riots and violence. These groups were direct ties to communist groups connected to the Chinese Communist Party. I'm going to finish this tomorrow, but it's a very stark look. An honest look at what has happened in this country, and we've come to a time of choosing. Today, that time of choosing is in Georgia. Tomorrow, it's in Washington, D.C. These are heady, historic days that will determine the future of this nation, more so than I've ever seen in my lifetime. So continue to pray. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing. We'll talk about what happened this evening. Polls are open till 7. You know anybody in Georgia, right-minded people, call them and urge them, plead with them, challenge them to get out and vote for these two Republicans as a stop against this leftist agenda. And then tomorrow in Washington, D.C., starting at about 1 p.m. Eastern time, pray, pray, pray. Do not give up. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. Like my dad always used to say, ever forward.